The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 12, Text Number 5. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on December 9th, 2014, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sampada Kratava Loka Mahashi Bratara Mahi Jambudvipa Adipatyam Cha Yasha Cha Tridivam Gatam Sampada Kratavo Loka Mahishi Bratara Mahi Jambudipatipat Yangcha Yashastri Triv Devam Gatam Sampada Kratavo Loka Mahishi Bratara Mahi Jambudvipadipat Yangcha Yashastri Tri Divangatam Sampada Opulence Kuratava Sacrifices Loka Future destination. Mahishi, the queens. Bratara, the brothers. Mahi, the earth. Jambudvipa, the globe, our planet of our residence. Adipatyam, sovereignty. Cha, also, Yasha, fame, Cha, and Tridivam, celestial planets, Gatam, spread over. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. News even reached the celestial planets about Maharaj Yudhisthira's worldly possessions, the sacrifices by which he would attain a better destination, his queen, his stalwart brothers, his extensive land, his sovereignty over the planet Earth, and his fame, etc. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Only a rich and great man's name and fame are known all over the world. And the name and fame of Maharaj Yudhisthira reached the higher planets because of his good administration, worldly possessions, glorious wife Draupadi, the strength of his brothers Bhima and Arjuna, and his solid sovereign power over the world known as Jambudvipa. Here the word loka is significant. There are different lokas, or higher planets, scattered all over the sky, both material and spiritual. A person can reach them by dint of his work in the present life, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 9:25. No forceful entrance is allowed there. The tiny material scientists and engineers who have discovered vehicles that travel over a few thousand miles in outer space will not be allowed entrance. That is not the way to reach the better planets. One must qualify himself to enter into such happy planets by sacrifice and service. Those who are sinful in every step of life can expect only to be degraded into animal life, to suffer more and more the pangs of material existence. And this is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 16:19. Maharaj Yudhisthira's good sacrifices and qualifications were so lofty and virtuous that even the residents of the higher celestial planets were already prepared to receive him as one of them.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jathapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishagam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine.
So these scientists think they can enter into the higher planets by mechanical means. Even if they can enter, they cannot actually enter. You may take some submarine and go into the depths of the ocean, but that does not qualify you to be a resident of the depths of the ocean. You may live there artificially for some time, but you cannot remain in that atmosphere. So they may attempt to go to higher planets. They may even be there in one sense. But actually, they cannot actually enter. It's like we understand from the scriptures, the moon is a heavenly planet. So what pictures they brought back from the moon? A desert. It means even if they went there, they couldn't actually see the celestial kingdom. They didn't have a visa to clear customs. It's like sometimes one may land in a country. It happened one devotee one time. They got on the airplane and they flew to the country and they landed there and they didn't have a visa. They were in the country, but they weren't allowed to clear customs, and they were sent back on the next airplane. So they were in the country, but they couldn't clear customs. They didn't actually enter the country, even though physically they were there in one sense. They couldn't actually enter the country, and they were sent back to where they came from on the next flight. So even if they can enter into the moon, in one sense, they can't clear customs and actually enter into the heavenly kingdom there and associate with the heavenly residents there. They cannot do that. But here we see Maharaj Yudhisthira. He's so full of wonderful qualities, good administration, extensive worldly possessions. Also his wife was a qualification as to, he had a glorious wife that was also enhanced his prestige. He had a glorious wife, Draupadi. And he had glorious brothers also that enhanced his prestige, Bhima, Arjuna. And his great administrative power over the planet Earth. This gave him carte blanche to enter the heavenly kingdom also. He was very much appreciated by the denizens of heaven. So, we should do our service in such a way that we become appreciated by all the residents of the universe. How do we pray every morning to Srila Prabhupada? Your fame is spread all over the three worlds. So, we should do our service in such a way that demigods will shower flowers. Oh, you're doing such nice service. Shower flowers, is it? We want to do very nice devotional activities, nice kirtan, nice puja, nice cooking of offerings, nice raising the family in Krishna consciousness, nice preaching activities, keep the temple very, very clean. You see, we want to do everything first class. So even the demigods will go, oh, just see how nicely they are serving Lord Chaitanya. So we have to follow the way then. Here we see two examples in this verse. Maharaj Yudhisthira and the scientists. Maharaj Yudhisthira, by dint of devotional service, he has access even to the higher planets. But these scientists and engineers, simply trying to do it by their own power, their own strength, they have no real access to anywhere except, as Prabhupada points out, the animal kingdom in their next birth. That's where they're heading. To the dogs and hogs. Shvadvidvada ushtrakarai sangstutak purishak pushu najatakarmapato jatta namagada agrachaha. Those men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So, if you have the mentality of a dog, hog, camel, or an ass, and that mentality is those who are not interested to hear about Krishna, Bhagavatam says they are in the category of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. So they will get such births in their next life. If you don't want to hear about Krishna, okay, animal kingdom. A human being is meant to hear about Krishna. That is his dharma. The fish's dharma is to swim in the water. The bird's dharma is to fly in the sky. You see. But the human being's dharma is to hear about Krishna, to glorify Krishna. If he does not do so, he is not fulfilling his duty as a human being, and he will not get a human birth in his next life. So what does that mean about our present-day civilization in which we are currently living? They're all going down to the animal kingdom in their next life. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. They're rushing to the animal kingdom. All of their facilities are simply bringing them. There's the movies, the cinema. It is simply rushing them, pulling them down to the animal kingdom. Their music, their movies, their entertainments, their restaurants, their whole culture is simply pulling them down to the animal kingdom. That's where they're going. So we have a different culture here, Krishna culture, Hare Krishna culture. This culture is liberating us from animal consciousness. This culture is bringing us to the transcendental platform. We're going to take an animal body in our next life. And if you take this process seriously in this lifetime, dedicating yourself to achieve pure Krishna bhakti, shuddha bhakti, then your next birth will be even. You won't take birth again here in this material world. You will wake up with Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. Even if you begin this process, but you're not able to complete it, you'll still take a human birth. So you can continue this process in your next life. Therefore, every intelligent person should seriously take up this pathway of Krishna consciousness. It is described by Srila Rupa Goswami. The very first step is Shraddha. You must have faith in this process. That is step number one. It is called preliminary faith. The next step is you have to see who are the people who are practicing this Krishna bhakti. Let me associate with them. That is called sadhu sangha. And then, what are they doing? Oh, they bow. I see they bow down before Srila Prabhupada. They bow down before Sri Sri Radha Golokananda. I see they chant japa mala. I see they give up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. I see they chant 16 rounds in the japa mala every day. I see they take diksha from the bona fide spiritual master. So let me do. I see what they're doing. That's called sadhu sangha. And then when I do what they are doing, that's called bhajana kriya. You see? So then I do what the devotees do. And then that's when the real house cleaning begins. Because our heart is like a dirty house. It's been accumulating dirt for thousands and millions of years. So by this process of regularly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada, serving the bona fide spiritual master, following his instructions, serving the Vaishnavas, by these activities, sincerely trying to avoid the nam aparad, the 10 offenses against the name, then one becomes cleansed. More and more and more and more. Cleaning out that dirt that has accumulated for so many eons. Cleaning out that dirt. And finally, you achieve a stage called anarta nivritti. When that dirt is practically completely wiped out of your heart. You see? You're almost a pure devotee. Then you achieve a stage called nishta. That is firm faith. You become pakka Vaishnava. You see, nothing can deter you from the path. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, your mind becomes unwavering, it becomes unflickering. That is the nishta stage. It becomes absolutely fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then, what comes next? Oh, taste, wonderful taste. When you become fixed in Krishna consciousness, then this most wonderful taste, like an unlimited gulab jamun, oozing with gulab jamun juice. Not one of these dry gulab jamun. And there's two types of gulab jamun. There's the dry ones and there's the oozing with juice. The ISKCON bullets, the ISKCON gulab jamuns are oozing with gulab jamun juice. That's the ISKCON bullets. The other gulab jamun, but they're not real gulab jamun. The real gulab jamuns are oozing with juice. And when you bite into it, it's like an explosion of juice in your mouth. You see? Those are the real ISKCON bullets. So, the ruchi state is something like that. Like an ISKCON bullet exploding in your heart. Explosions of transcendental bliss. The name of Krishna, just hear Krishna and you go, the name, those two syllables, Krishna, they send you into ecstasy. You see? Or the aroma of the incense offered to the Lord, immediately, just by smelling that aroma, you can immediately visualize the leelas of Krishna going on in the transcendental world. This is ruchi stage. He's become completely enlivened and transcendental bliss. And then, after the ruchi stage, what will be the next step? Asakti. You become absolutely, totally attached to Krishna. You're completely addicted to Krishna. You can't live for a minute without being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Not even for a nanosecond can you tolerate not being Krishna conscious. You're absolutely, totally attached to Krishna. Krishna is everything for you. There's nothing except Krishna for you. Krishna is absolutely everything. That's called the Asakti stage. And at that stage, described in the scriptures, you actually realize who you are in Krishna's pastime, the Asakti stage. You realize you're Sarupa. So don't think you can jump to Asakti, leaving... Well, I don't like Anartanavritti, giving up my false ego and my lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion. I think I'll just jump to Asakti. That's called Sahaja. I even saw one godbrother, he thought he would jump to being a gopi, he put on a sari. I saw his photograph. He put on a sari thinking, yes, now I'll go into gopi bhav. He put on a sari, can you imagine? Walking around with a big grin on his face. Now, don't be a sahaj. You see? You can't go to, you, if you want to get to Vasakti, you have to graduate from Anartanavritti. You have to completely clean out all the false ego, the lust, anger, greed, madness, laziness, craziness. You got to completely clean it all out. Spotless heart you must have, you see. And then you will come to the Asakti stage when you actually realize who you are in Krishna's pastimes. And then, and from the Asakti stage, then you start to practice. It's called Raganuga Bhakti. You start to practice following the footsteps of one of the Vrijabhasis in that same mood, taking them as a Siksha Guru. Then you actually practice that. That's Bhava stage. You then enter the emotions of that stage. And then when it becomes, you become completely purified and fully reestablished in your original identity, that's Prema. So this is a wonderful process, and but you, if you want to get the result, you have to follow the instructions. You can't violate the regulated principles, having illicit sex. Well, I'm married, so it's okay. No. If you're married, you can only have sex for procreation, and that's it, once in a month. Otherwise, brahmachari. You understand this point? Every single devotee is meant to be like a sannyasi. Even the house sotas is meant to be sannyasis. Except for once in a month, when they've gotten the blessings of their spiritual master, they want to try to have a child. All right, 50 rounds of japa, just after the menstrual cycle, when the lady is most likely to conceive a child. They will both chant 50 rounds of japa. This is Prabhupada's instruction. This is the ISKCON version of the... that yajna, Garbhadan Sanskara. Yeah. This is the ISKCON version of Garbhadan Sanskara, 50 rounds of japa. So one cannot violate these regulated principles and achieve the perfection of Krishna consciousness. You must strictly follow no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. And if you actually embrace this process, you will taste the sweetest happiness within your heart at every minute. You'll be relishing the sweetest nectar of love of God, which surpasses any, completely dwarfs any so-called nectar of this material world. Even to be Brahmaji, or to be an inhabitant of any of the heavenly planets, it's a pot of poison compared to the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So do not cheat yourself out of the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Follow these rules and regulations strictly under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, and Krishna will become your property. And then, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, you'll be welcome in the heavenly planets. You won't be considered an intruder. Oh, you're welcome to come anytime. Svargaloka, we would love to have your association. You see? So now I can ask if there's any questions. So Ronalee from Austin, Texas, is that? We'll take Ronalee first. Bhaktan Ronalee. So many are not aware of Krishna consciousness. How is saying that people return as animals different from Christians saying those who do not accept Jesus are going to hell? Actually, religion is one. We don't find any difference between Christ's teachings and the teachings of Krishna. Accepting Jesus and accepting Krishna is actually the same thing. But they don't understand that. That's the difference. Christians don't understand that. The Christians think, well, you know, Krishna is the devil and you have to accept Jesus. They don't understand that Jesus is also a devotee of Krishna. Those foolish rascals don't understand that Jesus is also a devotee of Krishna. Actually, the word Christ, which actually is a name for the Heavenly Father, is Jesus of the Christ. Like John Smith, his father is Smith, and the son is John. So he's John Smith. So Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son, and Christ is actually the name of the Father. Jesus Christ. So, Christ is an English version of this Greek word Christos, which is a Greek version of the Sanskrit word Krista, which is another way of saying Krishna. So, the Christians don't recognize the universal nature of religion. The so-called Christians, a genuine Christian, one who has actually realized who is Christ and what is Christ consciousness, a genuine Christian will be a pure devotee of Krishna also. He'll be a devotee, he'll see that God is one. Whether you call him Allah or Krishna or Christ, God is one. That's the difference. The philosophical concepts taught in Christianity are correct, but they are misapplied, that's all. They're misapplied. Jesus was a pure devotee of Krishna. So they misapply the instructions. They take them in a sectarian way. They do not understand the transcendental nature of religion. They've turned religion into a bad word. Now people shun the word religion. They say, we're into spirituality, but religion is bad. It creates wars. This is what people say nowadays. Don't give me religion, just give me spirituality. But real religion is the perfection of spirituality. Religion, the word, English word religion, comes from the Latin word religio, which means to relink, to relig, like ligament, connecting, a part of the body which connects, ligament. Relig, relink with the Supreme. So the actual meaning of religion is a synonym of the word yoga, to link. There's yoke. Yoga comes in English as the word yoke, to connect, to yoke. So yoga and religion are actually the same thing. Same thing. But these things are not understood by the general population. They understand everything in some dogmatic, sentimental way. So actually, the principle of one having to elevate oneself to spiritual consciousness or being degraded to the animal kingdom is a valid principle in any religious tradition. You may say, why? But it's a reward. Just like we saw when we go to our place for Govinda Valley in Australia. Our devotees have a nice retreat center there, Govinda Valley. So on the way to Govinda Valley, there's a cliff overlooking the ocean, and the hang gliders go there, and they jump off the cliff with their wings, and they go flying around for a long time, and then finally they land out on the beach. They take great pleasure in hang gliding. So on their next birth, they'll be given, they had to wait all week, you know, slaving out at the office, meditating on their hang gliding pastimes on the weekend, you know, going through all the austerities of working in the job and really wanting to be out there and hang gliding. So why they should have to, in the next life, they'll be birds. They won't have to worry about working a job. They can hang glide all day long, as much as they want, you see. So it's actually an award. When somebody has an inclination to engage in animalistic activities, the human birth is not the best birth to do that in. Pigeons can have sex so many times a day. If you're a sex fiend, you can be a pigeon in your next birth. Get better facilities. So whatever you're into, you'll get that body in your next life. It's actually nature's kindness upon you. You have this inclination here. Here, take better facility. The human birth is the best facility for self-realization. So one who is a human but doesn't actually take to the pathway of self-realization, it's a misfit situation. They're not in the best situation for their inclination. So they will get a body suitable for their inclination in their next birth. So the human birth is a wonderful opportunity afforded by nature that every single living entity who is a human being, now he has the opportunity to follow the Vedic injunction, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you've got a human form, you are meant to realize what is the absolute truth. So it's not that Krishna consciousness is like modern-day fanatical Christianity. It's not at all like that. We are teaching the science of how to reconnect with the Supreme. So now a question has come from New Zealand. Rupa Manjari Devi Dasi, my disciple, in Christchurch. Can you describe the taste one has at Puchi? All we can say is it's unlimited nectar. Unlimited nectar. We get some inkling of an idea from this verse of Rupa Goswami. Tunde tandamani viteng vitanutatalvali lagdavi karna krodhika dammani gatya ketanarvade vraspiham cheta pangana sangiji vitayu chevisan vindriyana kritam na jane janita kriyadvir amitai krishnaiti varnadvai. We get some idea. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, that person, Krishna, is literally dancing on my tongue, oozing out so much nectar that my one little tongue cannot hold, my one little mouth can't hold all that nectar. Therefore, oh, I must have millions of mouths. And when Krishna vibrations enter the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar oozing out of Krishna that my two little ear holes can't hold hardly any of it. Therefore, I need billions and trillions and quadrillions of ears to get at least a little bit more of that nectar. And then when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. I'm stunned. I'm paralyzed in transcendental bliss. So that gives us some idea of what Ruchi stage is like. Rupa Goswami has opened a little window for us to give us some idea of what Ruchi is like. To where you're actually stunned in transcendental ecstasy just by hearing these two syllables, Krishna. That's Ruchi, you see. Well, let's take some from the local devotees here in Phoenix, Mauritius. I don't want you all to feel left out. How is it that initiated devotees, either the husband or the wife, do not want to follow regulative principles, illicit sex? That means it's poor fund of knowledge. I mean, anybody with half a brain would want to follow the regulative principles. But it means they've never understood the philosophy properly. They're thinking that sense pleasure is more fun than Krishna consciousness. I mean, it's gross ignorance. That sense pleasure is more fun than Krishna consciousness. It's gross ignorance. Yes. They take a vow in front of the fire. They don't even keep their word. They're being dishonest. It's another point. It's ignorance and it's dishonesty. They're not keeping their promise. It's an offense. It's guru having illicit sex is guru aparad, and the spiritual master has to suffer for your offense. So don't be cruel upon your spiritual master by violating the regulated principles. Why do you sing the Premadvani prayers after Jai Radha Madhava? Because they're so sweet. Do you object? It's like, why do I take a gulab jamun after my meal? Because it's so sweet. How to resolve the ongoing disagreement that exists between Vaishnava and Shivites about the Supreme? That's simple. What is that verse? Text 35. How does it begin? 535 Brahma Samhita. Huh? Charam yatad divikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitata pitagasti heto yasham bhutam apitatastam baiti karyam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Just as milk is transformed into yogurt by the contact of acid, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in contact with the mode of I worship Govinda, the Prime Immortal Lord, of whom Lord Shiva is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So you have to give them that verse. And if they're humble and submissive, they'll understand. Oh, the scriptures say that Shiva is a transformation of Krishna for the performance of destruction. What is the secret in how to control our anger? Use your anger against the non-devotees, not the devotees. Like I said the other day, I'm very angry about the modern-day civilization, so-called civilization. I'm actually quite angry that your government has legalized abortion also, I'll tell you the truth. I'm very angry about that. I'm very angry with slaughterhouses. This causes me anger, so I use that anger to energize my preaching. Whenever I'm traveling and preaching all over the world out of anger of this materialistic civilization, cheating these leaders, the politicians, the gurus, the so-called gurus, they're all cheaters and rascals. They're exploiting you. They're hurting you for their own sense gratification. That makes me angry. Therefore, I'm traveling and preaching and dedicating my whole life to serve this spiritual revolution of Srila Prabhupada. That's how to control your anger. What are the qualifications for someone to take another human birth after leaving the present birth? You have to be inclined towards self-realization, seriously inclined. That'll get you a human birth. You have to prove it by sincerely taking up this process of Krishna consciousness. What happens to the jnani upon leaving the body? A jnani can take birth after birth after birth. Now, a jnani is not just some mental speculator. We're talking about those who are actually true jnanis, as described in the scriptures. They take thousands and millions of births as jnanis until they finally realize the Supreme. Bahunam janmanam mante jnanavan mangbhapanjate. They take thousands and millions of births until they finally realize Krishna. But they are strictly giving up sense gratification, studying Vedanta Sutra. They don't indulge in sense gratification at all. It's not that they're very strict renunciates. At times, to finish our chanting, we undergo a lot of stress. Can this be bad for the health? If you're stressful about chanting your rounds, that will greatly improve your health. That's called transcendental stress. Transcendental anxiety will drive away all material anxiety. So please be in anxiety about Krishna consciousness as much as you possibly can. I'm really in anxiety that I'm not a pure devotee. Be really in anxiety about not being a pure devotee, and that will have the greatest impact on your physical health, your mental health, and your spiritual health. Let's see here. We get some more questions coming in. Here's Sri Vidya Satish. Dear Srila Gurudev, how can a devotee be sure that he either reaches Goloka if qualified or takes birth in the family of a devotee and not land up anywhere in the heavenly planets? You know what? The best thing is to say, Krishna, I'm your servant. Do whatever you want to with me. I don't care. That's, if you want to know the best thing, just totally put yourself under Krishna. And whatever, my Lord, you want to do with me is fine. I don't care what you, where you send me. I don't care what you do with me. Just let me always remain purely absorbed in your service. That's the mood. And if you want me to go to the heavenly planets, I don't care. If you want me to go to the hell, I don't care where you send me. Just let me always be absorbed in your devotional service. That is the prayer. That is the mood. If you have that mood, you're guaranteed to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. And it's also stated that a devotee can be in the Prahlad Maharaj is in both the spiritual world and the material world. So it's possible that one has a desire to preach, that you could actually be in both worlds at the same time. What if one wants to be a devotee and is stuck in a job and it rules one's life? A job doesn't rule your life. It takes a certain amount of your time, but it doesn't take your life. Bhaktivinoda Thakura had a job also. It's a matter of your consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, I am working this job to maintain your household, Krishna. It's not my wife. It's not my kids. It's not my bank balance. I'm working this job to maintain your household. You simply have to fix your consciousness Bhaktivinoda style. That's all. Your job does not rule your life. Kick out that nonsense idea that I'm ruled by your job does not rule your life. You're using your job in the service of Krishna. That's all. You can lose your job right now and still be a devotee and still be alive also. You think you'll starve if you lose your job? Krishna is already giving enough food on this planet that you can be fed. You do not depend on your job for your livelihood. You depend on Krishna for your livelihood, and that's it. Don't think otherwise. So I hope that convinced you not to be in this sudra mentality. You know the ass? The washerman uses the ass to carry the laundry, the dhobi. He uses that donkey, the dhobi donkey, to carry the laundry back and forth from the village to the river. He puts a carrot in front of that donkey, and the donkey goes all day. He's thinking, if I don't carry this heavy load, I will starve. But there's so much grass growing on either side of the road. The foolish donkey doesn't see the grass. He's thinking, if I don't serve this master, I will starve. You see, don't be in donkey consciousness. You are not donkeys. You are human beings. Don't be. This modern day society teaches you to be a donkey. The universities teach you to be a donkey. Don't be in a donkey consciousness. You are human beings, and Krishna will take care of you. Simply dedicate yourself fully in the service of the Lord, and Krishna will see that you're taken care of very nicely. You'll have a suitable job or suitable means of getting your eatables and your place to stay. Okay. Andrea from Romania, Timișoara, Romania. Dear Gurudev, please tell me how to develop faith and determination. I recommend, especially for determination, we have our Siksha Guru. If you learn from our Siksha Guru, then you'll become very, very fixed up in determination. And does everyone know who our Siksha Guru is of determination? She is a little sparrow. The sparrow is our Siksha Guru. the little sparrow's eggs were stolen by the ocean. And she became very disturbed. She told the ocean, "You return my eggs." The ocean said, "Ha ha ha, you're not going to, you little bird, forget it. You're not going to get your eggs back." So this sparrow was very, very determined. "And I will dry you up, you rascal." So she's going down and taking one drop of water, putting it on the land, another drop of the water, putting it on the land. And this way she's running back and forth between the ocean and the dry land. Everybody's laughing. "Just see that little bird, she's going to run herself to death." Well, there was one person who wasn't laughing. And his name was Garuda. He's the topmost of all the birds. And when he saw how his little sister was being abused by the ocean and all the people laughing at her, he became very, very angry. So Garuda, he comes in. He doesn't have to fly on Garuda Airlines. He is Garuda Airlines. There's an airlines, Garuda Airlines. You've heard of Garuda Airlines? Yes, that's Garuda Airlines. He doesn't fly on it. He is Garuda Airlines. The original Garuda Airlines. So he comes flying in. And he has all mystic powers. He's the carrier of Vishnu. He has all mystic powers. So he told that ocean, "Return those eggs immediately or I will fry you up, you rascal." The ocean returned the eggs, you see. So, you must have the determination of that little sparrow. And then even if the mighty ocean is tormenting you, you will defeat that mighty ocean. Even if the mighty ocean of this material existence is tormenting you, if you have the determination of a little sparrow, you will conquer over this material nature and enter into the transcendental dimension of Krishna consciousness. So that's how to develop determination. If you do that, your faith will be there automatically. Sometimes it can be difficult to forgive and forget what can be done to forgive devotees for their offenses. You don't have to forget. Forgive is good. But it's good actually to remember if you're teaching someone and they keep making mistakes. It's your duty as the teacher to remember their mistakes. Not you should forgive them. But we, especially for ourselves, I should remember the mistakes I made. I remember what mistakes I made before I joined this movement. Actually, to regret one's mistakes is very goody-good. It purifies you from those mistakes. Whatever nonsense you have done before you became a devotee, whatever nonsense you've done since you become a devotee, you should regret all of it. You should regret it. Because that regret purifies your heart. It frees you from the tendency to do that thing again. So a preacher, he can remind the student how you have done these things in the past to help the student keep that feeling of regret for what they have done wrong in the past. But the forgiveness is always. Okay, let's see here. This is from Mauritius. When a baby's growth in the mother's belly proves to endanger the mother's life, a doctor counsels abortion. The mother's a devotee, what must she do? Pray to Krishna. Let's say I'm the mother, okay, and I'm pregnant and the baby is risking my life. What would I do? If I really love my child, what would I do? I would risk my own life rather than kill the child. Because it's up to Krishna. What these doctors know, they're not God. If the mother really loves her child, she'll risk her own life to save the child's life. So Krishna can protect. But they say, okay, kill them. Even in warfare, one soldier, he risks his life to save another soldier. Let's say there's a battle going on. There's another soldier laying wounded in the middle of the battlefield and in the middle of the enemy fire. What does this one soldier do? He risks his life to pull his soldier back from the enemy fire. He said, well, let him die. I'm just going to stay here and be safe. Let so-and-so die. I don't care. Just, you know. As a soldier won't do that. Some soldiers do, but the soldiers who do risk their life to save another soldier, they're given a medal of honor. You see? So even a soldier in the battlefield, it happened, you can see in the history, there's so many soldiers who risk their lives to save other soldiers who were in danger. If even a soldier in the battlefield will risk his life, why the mother can't risk her life to try to save her child? When we do an arati, it is said that we are offering the eight elements to the Lord. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and vasa, ego. Okay. Can you please elaborate the elements with the paraphernalia used in the arati? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and vasa, ego. Okay. Krishna has only spiritual form. Clarify the link with the universal form. Krishna is everywhere. He's within everything. Everything is within him, and he's within everything. So this material existence is actually the universal form of the Lord. It's also a form of Krishna. We are situated within the universal form here in this material existence. That is also Krishna. His expanded form, this material existence. Okay, let's see, it looks like our time is up, and maybe we'll take one more here. So we have one more from the internet. Scroll back here, I may have missed some. Let's see. Oh, that's it. Okay. So, question well has run dry, and hopefully your hearts are now full of enthusiasm, determination, and enlivenment for dedicating your life, especially today, dedicating today fully in the service of Krishna. If you can just say this, let me give this one day fully in the service of Krishna, and then do that every morning, you see, then your whole life will be dedicated to Krishna. So now you give this one day fully, that every thought, every word, every deed throughout this entire day will be for Krishna. Okay? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.
Jai Sankarsana Dasa Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.